gold-plated diapers.
Hey, Jellyheads, and welcome to another episode of Flat Doodle Forum with your host, Lucas Wilson, and
Matt Buckley.
This is the show where we discuss strange occurrences in society and culture
and provide our insights and feedback for you to enjoy.
Welcome to the show.
All right. All right, man.
How you doing?
Doing all pretty good, you know? All things happening in my life.
Things are happening.
Interesting
That's
people. And
nice.
And, you know, my job thing, company's growing pretty fast now.
That's good to hear.
Good stuff going. You?
Same old, same old.
Same old, same old.
You know,
tomorrow we're
getting by.
Tomorrow we're all getting together to...
I'm ready to flap it up.
Yeah. All right. So I'll go first.
Of course. You always go first.
Not always.
Most of the time.
Oh, David gave me a good... You know how we don't have an intro for Last Coin?
Yeah.
I never realized that until Dave brought it up. He was like... He said it should be good talk about bad games. It's a nice, simple...
Good talk about bad games.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Is there like an intro theme song or anything for it?
Yeah. Don't you listen to it?
Of course I do.
Okay.
You know I have a bad memory.
Ready?
Hopefully we didn't do the same story... Like we did last time.
No, well, mine's space related.
The first time in Flapdoodle history. Yeah. What is it?
NASA-backed fusion engine could cut Mars trip down to 30 days. FDR for the stars.
Okay.
All right, man. This comes from theregister.co.uk.
The Register.
I saw it posted by John Armitage.
Ah.
I thought it was really interesting.
That's
I've never really heard of the Register.
Good friend of ours.
And the heading makes it look maybe kind of dubious, but biting the hand that feeds it. And I'm guessing it maybe stands for IT because it's like a huge.
Oh, thing. Okay.
Yeah.
The Register. Okay.
Yeah, because it seems to be all sciencey stuff. All right.
John is a very sciencey guy.
Yes. I would think he would know a thing or two about what he's posting on the internet. NASA and plenty of private individuals want to put mankind on Mars. Now a team at the University of Washington, with funding from Space Agency, is about to start building a fusion engine that could get humans there in just 30 days and make other forms of space travel obsolete.
Wow.
Using existing rocket fuels is nearly impossible for humans to explore much beyond Earth, said lead researcher John Slew, a UW Research Associate Professor of Aeronautics and Astronautics, in a statement. We are hoping to give us a much more powerful energy source in space that could eventually lead to making interplanetary travel commonplace.
Wow.
The proposed fusion-driven rocket is a 150-ton system that uses magnetism to compress lithium or aluminum metal bands around a deuterium-tritium fuel pellet to initiate fusion. The resulting microsecond reaction forces the propellant mass out of a 30 millimeter second, out at 30 kilometers per second and would be able to pulse every minute or so and not cause g-force damage to the spacecraft occupants.
I don't understand any of that.
The spent fuel pellet is ejected behind the motor to provide propulsion, and because the whole process is magnetically controlled, there is relatively little wear and tear on the engines. A pellet the size of a grain of sand would provide the same propellant as a gallon of conventional rocket fuel. There's a bunch more, but I will leave that up to the listeners to read.
Yeah, it's probably very sciencey.
So, I'm always excited to read these little things about, you know, new ideas and space travel. I know there was one I was kind of, I liked, heard way back. It was kind of like a solar sail thing. I think it might have been more of a magnetic sail.
Okay.
And its speed could get up to 1/10 the speed of light, which means that you could get from here to the nearest star in 30 years.
Making things happen.
Which is plausible.
You could,
if you went there young enough, you could get there and back in one lifetime.
Good point.
Yeah.
It's like hard to wrap your mind around that, you know, that the nearest star is still that far away.
Yeah, I know, man.
Even going at 1/10 the speed of light.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Even if you were going like full light speed, like most of the stars out there would still take like 30 years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they got to think of some way to like travel faster than light or use wormholes.
You read about that other NASA-y thing, have you?
Probably.
Where NASA's, at least some scientists, are kind of toying with the idea of a warp drive.
Yep.
Because this one guy, he's kind of realized, like, well, if you kind of change the shape, like, if initially it was like, oh, you would kind of need a belt system, but then that would require so much energy that it's really not feasible. But then they were like, wait a minute, what if you made it more like a donut shape? And you oscillated the donut. Then you would,
somehow slows down time, or
then you would. No, what happens is, it's like basically compressing space behind you and expanding it in front of you, so it just pushes you. So essentially, what's happening is you can go faster than the speed of light because essentially space is what's moving, not you. So you can, you can get there quick.
That's confusing though, because I thought that there was like a law or something out there that says you cannot go faster than the speed of light. It's against the laws of the universe.
Yes, but this gets around that because you aren't going faster than the speed of light. You're being pushed by space itself.
Huh.
Faster than the speed of light. So space is pushing you, not the ship moving.
I would love to see that theory in practice. Yeah.
There is one downside, though, is that any particles and stuff that you swoop up on your way there, when you stop, they keep going and essentially turn into a giant freaking shotgun that would just decimate anything in front of it. But there is like,
I'm sure they'll find a way around.
There is some calculations like, you know, but that was with like the large, you would need like an enormous engine, but with this newer oscillating kind of idea, all of a sudden the engine's like the material you need to do it is much smaller, and I'm guessing would probably be safer to use.
Nice.
But
this is really cool though, because obviously it has some very wide-ranging implications for space travel, space exploration, because one of the things holding us back from doing manned missions to Mars is just because it takes so freaking long to get there.
Yeah, and currently, like, what you would have to do is wait for Mars to get the closest it does to Earth, which takes, like, 2 years to do.
Yep.
And it would take about, like, 6 months to fly out there. Then you'd spend, like, a year there. And then when the Earth came back around and like lined up again, then you would leave and take another 6 months back. So it would be like a 2 year journey.
Okay.
So that's a long time to do that. But if you could do it in like a month, that's a hell of a lot better. Yeah.
That makes me think of like, you know, the period of exploration on Earth when they were going to like the new world and whatever. It would take like, you know, a month or two for them to sail to the new world.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing. Like, now it's more feasible to actually make the trip.
Now you can just spend, like, 6 hours on an airplane.
And, well, yeah. It's obviously been streamlined a lot. Well,
yeah,
since then,
I'm trying to, like, But I hope that this becomes a reality, because
did you hear about, I don't know if it was just conjecture or an actual plan, but they wanted to make, like, a space elevator up to either the International Space Station or, like, the moon or something?
Well, you'd have to put, like, an object on, like, a Lagrange point so that it's in geosynchronous orbit. It doesn't move. It just stays aligned with the same point of Earth. And then, you know, there's the tether. So it was kind of like, you know, a cheaper way to get stuff up into space.
Right.
But then I've also heard things like it would take weeks to get to the top.
Oh, yeah. Weeks?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it is a very long distance. But it's just kind of an interesting idea to think about.
Yeah. I'm also kind of curious how it would work once you, like, break past, like, the forces of Earth's gravity.
Yeah.
And then, like, if
out of the Earth's atmosphere and everything.
Because all of a sudden, there is no more up or down. And how does that work? I mean, like, I would assume maybe you would, you know, be strapped down, and any cargo brought up would be strapped down. But that's kind of interesting. Like, the elevator moving might give you some G-force. And for a while, you'd have Earth pulling down on you. But then you get out there, and then you'd have to, like, rely on just the acceleration, if there is. But if it's going at a constant speed, then you don't have acceleration.
Right, yeah.
And then what happens, like, does gravity switch to, like, being in the opposite direction? Because now, like, wouldn't it be the direction that the object is swinging? So then you'd be pushed towards, away from Earth, right?
In theory, I think.
Yeah, because it's like, the Earth is holding onto a bucket of water and spinning. So then you'd be, like, all of a sudden you'd flip around. Like, yeah, I'm kind of curious how that would work.
It would be interesting to see if they could do it.
Yeah.
Another thing, like, unless we've mastered travel to and from the moon, like, if a part of that elevator, like, breaks or something, like, in the space portion, like, think of how hard it would be to, like, send something there to, like, fix it and repair it. It could take, you know, weeks.
It might not even be if that broke and the elevator came crashing down. It would, like, basically wrap around the Earth and, like, come crashing down across.
Well, let's say, like,
like in Halo 3, you know, when the space elevator in New Mombasa came down?
Yeah.
You saw, like, it just scattered the whole.
It could be destructive if, like,
yeah,
if a meteorite hits it or something and it just collapses. Like,
yeah.
That'd be horrible.
There is, yeah, there's a problem with that. If it somehow got snapped and your giant rogue piece of satellite went sliced through the cable.
Oh, my God. So, if you were given the chance to take a 30-day trip to Mars, would you do it?
Maybe. I don't know. I would love to visit Mars, but 30 days is a long time to spend on a really tiny spaceship.
It's a lot better than a year.
It's a lot better. Yeah, I would not do the whole year thing. But currently, the kind of idea is, especially with private space plans, is like, once you go to Mars, you're not coming back.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't there a plan like you go for a while and help establish the colony, then when you retire, I guess you can come back to Earth?
Maybe,
and...
but then the idea is to maybe send like middle-aged people who've pretty much lived their life out, so they're going to...
I wouldn't like that. You know, I like Earth too much.
I would like to visit Mars, but I don't, you know. Do you think maybe it might be plausible within our lifetime that we could visit the moon?
It's a ways off for sure. I can't see it happening anytime within 30 years.
I at least see plausible in our lifetime commercial spaceflight becoming...
That's already, yeah. That's,
I mean, that's already
becoming a thing.
Hints of that coming out. And right now, it's, if you have like $300,000, you can spend 5 minutes in suborbitals.
It's all in the private sector, though, right?
Yeah. But I mean, like, maybe someday it'll be routine to go up into space.
It's really, really expensive, too, to like take a trip into space.
Yeah, $300,000?
Yeah.
At the moment, crazy. Maybe it'll go down.
Stephen Hawking did it, right?
What?
I thought they sent Stephen Hawking into like one of those flights into space.
No.
Are you sure?
There's only been one. SpaceX thing. No, not SpaceX. Richard Branson's. Oh, Spaceship One or whatever. It was the X Prize that they did it for. Was the first civilian ship to go into space. And it's the only one that's been there since.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. I know there's other. They haven't started doing the big commercial flights yet. We've had unmanned ships start making deliveries to the International Space Station.
Even the ships that just kind of crest the atmosphere and then come right back down?
Yeah, we haven't done that yet.
Hmm.
I mean, you get some that are like upper, you're still in the atmosphere, but you haven't got the ones that are like you get zero gravity yet.
Okay.
Not yet, Matt.
It's kind of crazy to think about.
2014, I think is the plan.
It's been like 50 years since we went to the moon, a little bit less. And there has
plans to lasso an asteroid, bring it into the moon's orbit, and then land some astronauts on it.
What's the point of that?
I don't know. That was kind of interesting. This is like, it's like we, I remember, so like Obama was like,
land on
we've
the
already
moon?
Been to the moon, so we're not going back to the moon. What we're going to do is we're going to land on an asteroid, and then we're going to land on Mars.
Well, still, like, we may have already been to the moon, but you could set up, like, a moon base on there. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Or, like, set up a moon nation.
That was supposed to happen by, like, 2020?
Moon independence.
2025.
You know, like, have it be a global player.
Yeah.
Or a
Luna
colony. An interstellar player.
Oh. Wouldn't that be more intrastellar player? Because it's within our solar system.
Yeah. You get what I mean.
Yeah, I get what you mean, man.
But still, yeah.
But I'm
be cool.
All for space.
Yeah, I'm really interested in space exploration because I feel like that's really investing in the future. We're not going to be able to sustain ourselves on Earth forever.
And it also just sparks the imagination.
Oh, yeah, because there's just so much out there.
Yeah, you know. So, that's my article, man.
That was really interesting. Yeah, that's some cool discussions. Yeah. I'm always down for talking about space.
So, you want to up here, Mr. Thew?
All right.
Next topic.
Okay, Mr. M. Thew. Man of mystery and adventure.
I actually kind of like how they changed this to Outlook.
They changed MSN to Outlook?
Hotmail, yeah. It looks cleaner.
Huh. You can still like log in as at Hotmail.
Yeah,
and
it's
as
still the same address, but it looks like a Windows 8 type interface. See?
Okay, cool. Looks cleaner.
Yeah.
Almost Google.
A little bit, yeah.
I hear Windows 8 ain't doing too good.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's not as bad as Vista, but...
Yeah, but it's almost like, you know, people are getting Windows 8 on laptops that have no... touchscreen interface, and it's Kevin was complaining about that. He was like, he bought a new laptop, but it comes with Windows 8.
Well, you can still switch to the legacy mode.
Yes, but you have to go into the BIOS and change it, because the BIOS for Windows 8 is completely new.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they had to
make a big change.
Well, Matt.
Well, my topic story isn't quite as grandiose as yours.
That's okay, man.
But it is still something of particular interest to us, because
it
actually has to do with video gaming. And technology.
Ooh.
And because we run our Last Coin show, this is kind of relevant, I guess. And we're both gamers. Now, I'm sure you've heard of the Uncanny Valley.
Yeah.
Now, this article from Metro shows that we have perhaps beaten the Uncanny Valley.
What?
Now, for you listeners who are unfamiliar, the Uncanny Valley relates to the phenomenon that occurs from CGI graphics when they try to make human beings, and you can kind of tell
that... And robots.
Robots,
yeah. It's a robot problem. When you get...
Like, you look at it, it looks convincing, but there's just something off, like something not quite right
about
them.
Yeah, it's like you... connect more with the thing, like the closer and closer it looks like a person, the more you connect to it until it hits a point where it's too close, but not perfect.
Right. It's still distinguishable.
It's still distinguishable. Like there's something still not right about this thing that we're like, it all of a sudden becomes revolting and really scary.
Very off-putting. Yeah.
And then it goes back up once you cross that threshold. But
now this has kind of prevented graphics and video games and CGI movies and whatever from kind of going to the next level of realism. But at the GDC event, which for those of you that don't know, it's a huge developer summit for video games, Activision showed off
a gamer development conference.
I believe that's what it is. Yep. Activision showed kind of a tech reel for some CGI graphics they came up with for people.
Could you bookmark?
Yeah. There's a video for this too that I'm going to show you. It's pretty cool. You can see a picture here, which is a soldier. It looks pretty lifelike,
pretty
right?
Lifelike, yeah.
So I guess this technology is going to be used on the next generation of platforms. So the PlayStation 4, the unnamed Xbox, and future PC titles that can, you know, harness this. But yeah, this is basically going to take things to the next level. It's kind of a breakthrough in the the CGI and tech field.
Yeah.
So I'm going to show you this video that Activision presented, and you can kind of give me your thoughts on it.
Fast forward.
All right, man. So that was the video. All right, man. What did you think?
That is pretty sweet. It is very, you know, you'll see certain moments where it's like the mouth.
Oh, yeah.
It's isolated because the teeth.
Especially when he opens the mouth.
Yeah, the teeth seem to be kind of fake. And then it's just like the fact that he opens his mouth and it's a black hole.
Right.
And you don't see like anything inside.
Yeah, but when they do like the close-ups on the eyes and everything, it's
Eyes are the best. Like when he squints and stuff, you get like the perfect wrinkles. It works pretty flawlessly from that in that area. This reminds me, like when Kevin and I first played Halo 4, like when they did the opening cutscene, just for a second there, I was like, I'm having a hard time telling whether or not this is live action.
Oh yeah, it was really well done.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then it did get to a point where it's like, oh, okay, I can tell it's computer generated. But that is really interesting. That's almost like it's almost worrying in a way for the movie industry in which actors could potentially get replaced.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
By computers.
It's a little scary.
Yeah. I don't know.
Because they can obviously animate it perfectly, so there's no need to...
Yeah, like you could pretty much just get... You don't have to worry about a costume. Like everything could be computer generated, you know?
Right, obviously, it would be extremely expensive to have people make these unless they have like stock models that they can
I can see that happening where at least the huge movie studios might in like 50 years time have like just switched completely over.
Yeah.
And it's like they'll have people voice them. Maybe they'll even have computer programs by then that sound
or
like convincing.
Since the big name actors are part of the draw,
yeah,
they could have like perfectly replicated models of these actors.
Oh,
and
actors.
Just have them. Yeah.
But then, couldn't there be a point at which there's no longer big-name actors?
I think there's kind of a need for that, though. There's a need for celebrities and
big-name
actors.
Yeah, but it's almost like, but you know that one, there's like a celebrity in Japan who's not real. She's a hologram.
Yeah.
And basically, they, you know, just through marketing and stuff
like
that.
I can't see that being the mainstream thing, though. Because, like, people will go to these movies because this particular actor is in
it.
Yeah, like,
but what if, like...
Bruce Willis is in the new G.I. Joe, so...
But these actors get popular because they were appealing in a certain movie. And if they were, like, you know, then they'll... what I'm saying is that...
So you think the models are going to take the place
models,
of the
then
actors.
If they figure out how to get computers to talk exactly like people... They can get lines delivered exactly like they want.
Right.
And then they'll be like, oh, I like that, how that character is portrayed. And then they'll sell that actor model and voice to other studios.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like, what are they going to name these? Like, are they going to come up with like...
Yeah, they'll probably come up with names that they can advertise these people with. Yeah.
So they're going to be property, basically.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they won't even be real, you know, they'll be computer.
We should like invest in this before it takes off.
Yeah, man.
I think, because this is where it's going to go.
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
Imagine if, like, you know, you're like, maybe if you're an indie developer, like, you know, indie production, but like, you know, there's maybe like a reach out program where they rent out
models for of famous act, you know, well-known
yeah.
actors, and they could be in your movie. And they would get, you know, help you get some notice and stuff, like Billy Joe the Hobo, seen in Hobo Strikes Again, and
yeah, I mean, it's like 15, 20 years from now, I can definitely see that.
Yeah, that being... is almost like that is almost a little scary to me. Just kind of doing like just seeing potentially the whole acting profession die.
Well, there's always going to be a need for like live performances and everything. That's kind of irreplaceable. But yeah, I definitely see
I
this.
I can see that almost becoming like a niche.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It already kind of is, like stage performances and everything. It's kind of a...
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah.
It's...
Interesting.
Well, my thing is, this is actually the number one thing I was thinking of, strangely, when I was watching this. The implication for like the next generation of video games.
Uh-huh.
This was made and presented by Activision, which, as you all probably know, it makes the popular Call of Duty games.
Yes.
Do we really want to see, like, live action, like, realistic, like, people being torn apart by bullets and stuff? Like,
yeah.
That just seems, like, disturbing.
Yeah.
And for a while, I've kind of, like, feared it in my mind, like, graphics are going to get so good to the point where it's, like, it's going to be gross for war games, because nobody wants to actually see what war is like, you know? Nobody wants to see all the realistic gore and bullet wounds from war. That's disgusting.
I'm kind of curious how, if they'll be, like, for a while, like, when this really breaks out, that there'll just be, like, this endless trend of, like, hyper-real games, and then maybe come along, then somebody goes, like, oh, wait, do you remember those cartoony-ish kind of looking characters? And they bring it out, and people are going, like, oh, yeah! That's great! And then, it'll like, you know, it'll be like a fad that comes back and, you know, like a retro. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how they're going to handle that for war games with these kinds of graphics.
I don't know either, man.
Like, are they going to censor it so the injuries aren't realistic, or
I could see that, you know, vanish? I could see that maybe coming into, especially like in Europe and such. It's
oh,
like,
yeah like how Germany, like super
how,
hardcore.
Yeah, how violence is, it's opposite where sex isn't evil, but violence is. And right. Like here, it's like, don't show anyone nude, but
you can shoot people up in video
games. Gore people all you want. Because we're Americans.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. Obviously, this has huge implications for the entertainment industry, video games, technology in general.
Yeah.
So it's going to be huge.
We live in a crossroads, Matt, where a lot of things are changing. And I keep thinking to myself, it's like, what is this world going to be like when I'm 85?
We're in like a huge transition period right now.
And I keep, you know, you hear a lot of things now that, you know, we could potentially be living, you know, it could be normal for us to live to 150. And
do we want to live that long though?
Well, depending on the way things are, you could just like replenish biological pieces just to keep that, you know, you wouldn't be too old.
It's crazy to think about.
You know, you need a hip replacement, they will print you a new hip that is out of your own organic material. What is one thing? What they had these lab. This has now gotten off topic.
Yeah,
but they had these lab rats or mice that they had specially bred to die early. Like they die quick. Like they just like breed, grow, die.
Okay,
within like several days, and they introduced like some kind of stem cell thing to these guys. And then all of a sudden, they were living twice as long, like just injecting them with it.
So was it like repairing their tissue?
Yeah, it was just like, all of a sudden, it was like repairing tissue that, you know, normally would just stop repairing itself. And essentially, like, if they did this to a person, somebody who would expect to live to 80 would live to 200.
So,
yeah.
Shoot me up. I mean, I wouldn't mind living that long. It's just, like, I don't want to be, like, geriatric for like 70 years, you know. It's not really,
understand that.
Like I would want to be not necessarily at peak physical condition, but still well enough and fit enough to, you know, do things like run, you know, be able to engage in physical activity without any adverse
heavier mental capacities.
Yeah, exactly. So that's my thoughts on it.
Yeah. Cool, man.
Good stuff.
Good discussions today.
Definitely. Anything else to add?
No. Not only if Bubba was here with
you. You threw the mice thing in, so now this has turned into like a general science-y technology episode. Yeah. So anything else?
What about you, man? I threw in the mice. What about you?
I'm drawing a blank right now.
That's too bad, man. Maybe you need an injection of stem cells.
Repair my mental capacities. Yeah, technology's changing, man.
It's crazy stuff, man. Internet bananas.
Okay.
Someday we'll have internet in our bananas.
Bananas in our internet. Oh, we already have that.
Don't you go online, man.
not enough, apparently.
Well, we've had a good discussion tonight, Matt. It's definitely, we really you know.
It was a kind of a different flow, because we've had Dave on a bunch of times. We've had Bubba on
a bunch of times.
And
yeah.
It feels like our episodes have been like a bit more all over the place the last few weeks.
And this was a nice, we talked. We
just kind of chilled out and talked.
And really elaborated on these things, what we thought. So it was cool.
It's good to have these episodes.
Yeah, once in a while, sprinkle them in. Well, Jellyheads, thank you very much for listening to this episode of Flapdoodle Form. As always, we've been your hosts, Lucas Wilson and
Matt Buckley.
If you liked this show and you want to listen to more, please hop on over to our website at psychojellyfish.com. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes. Please rate and review. It really does help out the show. And listen to us through the podcast app, Stitcher. If you're a fan of the show and you want to spread the word, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/psychojellyfish or follow us on Twitter at jellycast. And if you have any thoughts, words, comments, questions, or maybe a strange topic you'd like to share with us, email them to email at psychojellyfish.com. But a fun one, folks. Keep it psycho.
Psycho out.
Where am I?